All right.
All right, this is Whitney Gaskell interviewing Janet Sproul about her family in Montana and Missoula in the Rattlesnake Creek area. So, can you first please tell me about your when your family came to Montana and what brought them here?
Okay, as far as I know, I mean, I was born and raised here. My mom was born and raised here in Missoula. Mm-hmm. Her mother was from a family of Irish immigrants who they ended up in Anaconda. Her brothers worked in the Butte mines and the smelter there at Anaconda, and they were not doing well. So when my grandmother was 16 years old, they actually sent her to Missoula to stay with some friends here, and she learned the haberdashery business, how to make hats. So, yeah, so anyway, and then she ended up marrying my grandfather, who came from Illinois, and his family came originally from England. So, yeah, they married and had their, let's see, five children, and one of which was my mom, Donna, who is a twin, and she was the youngest by far. Yeah, and then my mom met my dad, mm-hmm. and yeah, we ended up the Rattlesnake when I was about 3 years, 3 years old.
3 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mom did say at one time that her dad actually had the opportunity to buy, like, all of the land in the Rattlesnake for dirt cheap, but at that time, you know, it was... Thank you. It was not, you know, it wasn't something that they were really interested in. He had a grocery store in town, and you know, they did fine. So mm-hmm. he wasn't interested in getting into the land owning business. Mm. So I wish he would have.
No,
it all be open space. No, anyway.
And you mentioned your aunt. Your aunt also grew up in the Rattlesnake area. Can
right.
you tell me her name and when she was born?
Well, I can tell you her name is Grace Tubbs, and she was born in 1914. There is also my Uncle Bobby Tubbs, who was born then in 1916, and another daughter, Kat, that was born 2 years after that. Let's see. Well, 1918. And they grew up, actually, on Van Buren at 14... I can never remember, 14-something Van Buren, which at that time was out of town. And they had a great time up there. She told me that they went to Prescott School, and their big thing for the summer is that they would, the last day of school, they'd run home, and they'd take off their shoes, and then they'd just hike all the way up the valley, like, way up there, like where the Rattlesnake Recreation Area is nowadays,
mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to, that was their big toughening up their feet for the summer, because they never wore shoes in the summer. It was just bare feet all the way. So anyway, but she also talked about, like, going up on Mount Jumbo and just collecting armloads of wildflowers for May Day, and they'd make the little May baskets and hang them on people's doors and that sort of thing. And she also said that they would always, in the winter, they'd scrape off the creek. They'd go down to the creek and find a spot that had iced over and scrape it off and go ice skating. And anyway,
On the creek,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, I don't know how this happened, but she said that they would sled. They would go up, I guess, by Prescott School, and it's not the new one, it was the older one that was there,
mm-hmm.
and they could sled, like, all the way down to where the gardens were down by the river, which I thought, wow, I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. if things have just really been leveled out over the years or what, but,
wow.
you know, it was a long walk back up, but they could get quite the ride.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so.
So, let's just talk about the Rattlesnake Creek area, as you may have heard of it from your aunt. So she's growing up in the 20s. What was it, how developed was Rattlesnake Creek at that time? How many families do you think were living up there? And did you say that it was your grandparents that were in the grocery store business?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so, I mean, what other kinds of things did people who lived in the Rattlesnake do?
You know, she didn't have much else to say as far as that. We didn't really talk about that, but but I remember growing up, actually, that Mom would take us down to have our hair cut at this lady's house right on Van Buren Street. That, you know, she had a little beauty parlor in the back of her house, you know. And then there were also several, like there was Morin's, I think, market that was right kind of at the corner, right near where the interstate goes through now. So that was, of course, taken out. There was also a couple more little stores on Van Buren. You know, just, I'm trying to think, I don't know exactly like what the cross streets would be, but just in that lower section. So, and then of course there's the Greeno Mansion that we got to watch them kind of divide that into, you know, sections and haul it across the Van Buren Street Bridge and up onto the mountain once the, when the interstate went through.
What was the Greeno Mansion?
So, well, the Mr. Greeno was, you know, Greeno Park.
Right.
They donated that to the city. And it was pretty awesome because they actually made a stipulation that it remain wild, you know, so that's been amazing. I mean, because it's a big, it's a huge place and it's got creek bottom and, you know, you've been there. It was quite a gift. Anyway, but yeah, he made his, from what I remember, he made a fortune, like, in timber. And he supplied a lot of the railroad ties and the, for the railroad, but mainly the mine timbers, the timbers for the mine in Butte. So, you know, as they were digging down, you know, they needed all those timbers to make their little tunnels and everything. So, anyway.
And he had this huge mansion.
Oh, yeah.
What did it look like?
Oh, yeah. It was just gorgeous. Well, it had, you know, it had the huge big rock wall around it. And, but you could see it. It was, you know, two or three stories high. Actually, when they moved it up on the hill by the golf course that's up there now, you know, it's now Shadows Keep because the mansion burned down. But I remember going to a high school formal there and, among other things, you know, and it's, you know, it was just beautiful. But they did turn it into a restaurant and, you know, but it was still gorgeous, gorgeous, big, huge stairway is what I remember, like going up to the second story with like stained glass windows and it's just beautiful, gorgeous.
Wow. That's interesting. I hadn't heard about that piece.
A little bit more modern history.
As your, can we talk a little bit more about what you remember about your aunt? You mentioned that your grandparents ran a grocery. I mean, was she involved in that? Did the kids do a lot of chores? What kinds of chores? Did you know anything about the work she might have done?
You know, I didn't ever hear about her day-to-day. I do know, though, that they did move into town. You know, once she got to high school, they decided to move into town, which is just hilarious, of course, nowadays because people drive up and down all day, way across. But they went to the Missoula County High School, which is now Hellgate, and so they lived on Eddy, which and just like four blocks down, like towards the university on Eddy, and so they could just walk to school. And so, like my mom and her twin, they didn't really, you know, grow up in the Rattlesnake, but then she and my dad moved up there, in 1956, and they've been there ever since. So it's kind of interesting. She didn't make it in her younger years, but she's lived up there now, you know, the rest of her life.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And what else do you remember about your aunt growing up in the Rattlesnake? Do you remember, did she tell you any other stories?
Okay, you know, it was, it was just, you know, from the letters that she wrote to me, you know, just talking about her growing up. That was the basic thing. I do remember one other thing she mentioned, like, it was really cool when they were, you know, got to be like, you know, 13, 14, to have their little flasks. And I don't know if it was during Prohibition or what, but it was like the mode to have. I don't think they had a whiskey or anything like that, but but she said that that was the cool thing for the girls to, you know, to carry around a little flask in their pockets. Yeah, so I thought that was really funny.
That's funny. When she went to Prescott School, how did she get there? Did she have to walk?
I think they walked. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was only like 3 blocks away or so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think her parents were very concerned about things being close by. I mean, for them to move into town, for them to be near the high school. Although, you know, I've seen pictures too of my grandfather's father at the store, which was right off Orange. You know where, Casey Meats is? It's right across from the health department now.
Mm-hmm.
That he originally was a partner in the store there. At that location, and his dad would do deliveries, and he's out front, you know, with the wagon and the horses, you know, and so it was kind of a family affair there too.
Mm-hmm.
I should, you know, have my mom talk with you too, because she would remember a lot more of the older,
that older stuff. So. What about your grandparents? Were they involved in hunting and trapping? Did they anything like that?
You know, not for like survival or anything, but mm-hmm. I know my grandpa he loved to hunt and fish, and there's pictures that I've seen of him up at Sealy Lake, and in fact I have one on the on the refrigerator there. I just sent it to the Way We Were, and it's all of them at Sealy Lake. Which is really cool because it was taken right at the same place where we now, my brother-in-law and sister bought an old resort up there a couple years back, and it was the same place where they had their picture taken.
Oh, neat.
So it was really weird. We didn't know that until afterwards. It's like, wow.
Oh, wow.
And we just had a big reunion up there last summer, and so that was kind of neat. Everybody really enjoyed seeing that picture.
It is.
So,
in terms of the grocery store, where did they get their food? What was the grocery store like in those times?
Ew, do you remember? Boy.
Any, and that's okay if you don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I just, you know, the only thing I remember my mom saying about the grocery store was that her dad helped a lot of people through the Depression. Mm-hmm. You know, that they couldn't afford to buy food, and he did a lot of, you know, of really nice giving away stuff to people, because, you know, people were just in such dire need then. So, but that's all I really know about. You know, I think my mom was the last. They were kind of the twins were kind of the surprise children that my grandmother had them when she was like 40 or 41.
Oh.
So, you know, so they were a little bit. They didn't have as much of the, you know, the really earlier experiences or whatever, but they went through the whole war. They kind of were babies in the Depression, but they did go through World War II. And
did they ever mention anything about that? How that affected Ms. Mom?
You know, they didn't seem to really. I mean, you know, I think their dad having the store and just being as young as they were. I mean, they were in high school basically when the war got over in 45, and they were just 15. So, you know, I don't think it really affected them that much, although their brother did. He was in the Air Force and, you know, saw some duty during the war, too. But, you know, I didn't ever hear anything from them about them being really, you know, worried about him or anything. I don't know if he was doing anything that would have really put him in danger, that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, then, how about we just transition into you talking about your childhood now? Can you tell me what year you were born, please?
I was born in 53.
Okay.
St. Pat's. And at that time we lived in town, and then my parents moved up the Rattlesnake when I was 3, so 56.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we grew up basically outside.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful place to grow up as a kid. Plus, the whole baby boom thing was going on, and the neighborhood was just, you know, it was just rife with kids. There were so many kids that we would, you know, I mean, we were always outside playing together, oh gosh, at one point we even would, like, have little gang wars within the neighborhood. Kids from that side of the street would, you know, would come and capture some of us and take us to their place, and, you know, and just, I don't know, I remember having squash fights. There was a garden, big garden, right across the street from us. The family that lived there, dad was a farmer from the Bitterroot, and when he moved into Missoula, he has, like, a whole lot next door to their house, and he had chickens and, you know, and then everything you can think of in the garden, fruits, vegetables, apples, you know, everything. And we would just go over there and graze, you know.
Yeah.
He wouldn't mind if we'd go through the raspberry bushes and the strawberries, pull up a few carrots, you know,
mm-hmm.
have some apples when those were ripe. But we would have big street fights every once in a while where we'd take, like, the squash. Kind of look like Halloween does now, the day after Halloween sometimes around here when people are smashing pumpkins and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, it was an amazing time and place to grow up, because it was just made for kids, you know.
What were some of your favorite places?
Well, let's see. Probably, you know, depending on the age. But I remember, you know, by the time we were 7 or 8, we would walk. We grew up on Linden Street until I was about 13. And we would just walk across Duncan and go up on the hill, which is now the Luckman land. And there were a couple big pine trees up there. And we would take our little picnic lunches and go sit in the shade of the pine and have our little picnic lunch and look out at the valley. And I think we were pretty cool. you know, just as we got older, though, we started kind of ranging farther away. I remember distinctly finding that if you go up and over towards the Randolph property, go up and over and down into Cherry Gulch, that was like, it was like this, you know, secret valley and this just amazing, you know, the big, really steep sides of the hills that come down. It was like you were just in the middle of nowhere, you know, and there you were just, you know, 20 minutes from home, and 10 minutes from town. That was a pretty big discovery for me. And from that, oh, and also, actually, the Papoose Pony Ranch was just right up the road. And once we discovered that and got old enough to do babysitting, my sister and I, every bit of babysitting money would go right to the Papoose Pony Ranch. You know, we would just ride our bikes up there, and it was $1.50 an hour to go riding. And so we'd go, you know, you'd have the whole, all that sunlight land up there, actually, you know, all the Montana Power land. That was where you'd go riding. And so we'd jump on a horse, and we spent a lot of time up there, you know, to where they were letting us saddle the horses for them, and, you know, and groom them, all of that kind of stuff. So,
oh, that sounds
anyway,
fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah. Any other places you remember wandering to?
Well, and then the creek, of course. You know, spent a lot of time at the creek. There was a little swimming hole right up above our house. When we moved up, when I was 13, we moved up the street to Duncan Drive, up near what was the top of the road at the time. You know, it was really close to the footbridge going across to Rattlesnake School. And all my brothers and sisters went to Rattlesnake School. There was the swimming hole in the summer, and there was a log jam that actually, the places that we really loved are now kind of in Dennis Washington's backyard. And there's a big fence across there. Although, there is, behind the fence is city open space. And, right. and it continues on down. And, you know, and you can go down there now. But it's a whole different feel. So, that...
Yes. What would you like to see? Are you?
Okay. Just a sec, I'll get you some. Okay.
Probably a good idea. Because once...
Oh, okay. All right, so you were talking about the creek.
Yes, and the creek, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just fun to go down to the creek and just throw rocks in or, you know, wade around or whatever. Oh, also one big thing I have to say while we were... growing up was the little store. And it was just across the creek and up the hill, you know, just oh gosh, I never remember the name of that. But it's the right before you get to Gilbert. I don't know if it's Wiley or one of those streets. Anyway, but it hasn't been operational for a mm-hmm. long time. But that was the penny candy heaven of our childhood. Whenever we would get a nickel, I mean when mm-hmm. we were, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, we just head on over to the little store. So, yeah, and just penny candy, you just don't see it anymore, you know.
No.
But anyway, but yeah, the creek, then, I mean, as we got older and started kind of fanning out, we discovered the dam. And actually when I was, oh gosh, probably 10 or 11, my sister and I were in Campfire Girls, and they had the day camp up at the dam one year, which was really awesome. That was my first experience with the Power Park, which is now very, you know, used very, you know, just big time by walkers and bikers and everybody. But it's at the very north end of Lincolnwood.
Okay.
And actually they just put in a new bridge across the creek there. But back in the day, you know, you couldn't get across except for the footbridge to the school and then the dam. And mm-hmm. you could actually walk across the dam. You could stand on the dam and look down into the, you know, it was like probably 20 feet deep there, and you could watch, you know, the fish. And in the spring, it was really awesome because, you know, with high water, it would just be roaring over the dam, and you could just stand on the dam and just watch the water, you know, mm-hmm. just ripping down the valley. So, anyway, but, yeah, so we...
And there's the dam on Rattlesnake Creek.
That was it. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's it. Yep. They put it in there, you know, and then they have the big, huge reservoir. It used to be the water source for Missoula, mm-hmm. and the aqueduct would go from the dam down the valley to... You know, the bubble now that's on Waterworks Hill, it would go there. So, anyway, so we grew up drinking Rattlesnake Creek water, and that's something that I really miss because I never thought I'd see the day when I'd pay for water. But now with our water being, you know, well, we have well water here, and it was okay, but then... with the chlorination and all of that, it's like I can't even drink it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But and we used to just drink right out of the creek all the time, but then they started building lots of houses mm-hmm. and we decided that probably wasn't a good idea unless you were farther up,
right?
Yeah.
So how many less houses were there in the Rattlesnake when you were growing up compared to now?
Oh yeah, a lot. I mean, I remember when they did Lincolnwood. Before that, just in our travels around the valley, there used to be a slaughterhouse up there, you know, up where Lincolnwood is now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just kind of, we chanced upon it one time when we were up there meandering around, and it was kind of a shock because mm-hmm. you knew it was a slaughterhouse. It was gross anyway. But yeah, so that, none of that development was there. Oh gosh, yeah, Lincoln Hills was not there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Papoose Pony Ranch, when the man that owned that, I don't know if he lost the lease or what, but he ended up there was another big old barn over on the east side of the creek that's at the bottom now of Lincoln Hills. That's all filled in now, too, of course. But for several years, he ran the pony ranch out of that barn. And we would rent horses and ride them up, you know, on the saddle of Jumbo and around and back down. But, yeah, there's a little bit of a remnant of that that you can see across from the parking lot where the school baseball field is now, soccer field, baseball mm-hmm. field. Right across the street, there's a little bit strip of land left that was actually where the entrance was to the barn. And now that's, you know, that's totally, totally filled in. Mm-hmm. So, and, boy, yeah, there's just, it's amazing how things have filled in. Even just on Linden Street, Woodland used to be on the other, the east side of Woodland. The Orrs, Connie Orr, the veterinarian, he's since passed away, but he had this beautiful house that was right on Lolo, but behind that along Woodland was a big open pasture land and a barn, and now that's all filled in too, as well as behind that, and yeah. And now what you're seeing even, I mean, besides just the new homes going up, is the infill.
Right.
It's shocking to me. I mean, I don't know if you have been on Lolo Street. I mean, if you come up Duncan and turn right at Lolo, just right around the corner there, there's those four houses that are like, you know, like packed mm-hmm. right together, and their front porches are like, you know, 2 feet from the road, and they're just really packing things in there.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, that's something my parents are starting to worry about, that they're getting to an age where, you know, they're starting to think about how to divide up their property, and they happen to have their house is one of those that's back from Duncan Drive. It has a big open front yard that could easily be built on. And so they're kind of starting to think, well, you know, how is that something that we want to see? I mean, you know, how are we going to divide our, you know, wealth up between our children equally and kind of keep things to where everybody would be happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of a big question anymore, because land up the rattlesnake is become ridiculously expensive. It used to be so, you know, it was rural. It was, mm-hmm. you know, you'd have horses in the pastures and the, you know, and the
yeah.
and all of that. And now it's like, wow, you got those huge mansion houses that are going up and a lot of money. Like you have to have some money to live up there now. So, anywho.
So did you go to rattlesnake school? Is that what you said?
I did not. My sister and I. My grandson does.
Awesome.
It is awesome. All my brothers and sisters went to rattlesnake school. My older sister and I, though, we went to St. Francis Xavier School and then to Sacred Heart Academy. Mm-hmm. My parents were very, very religious Catholics, and they wanted to do that. And I was more than happy to do that too, although I, you know, it kind of gives you a different relationship with the other kids in the, you know, in the neighborhood or whatever. I mean, some of them went to St. Francis too, but most of them went to Rattlesnake. But my brother, the oldest brother in the family, and there were six boys, and then my little sister, he made it as far as third grade, and then he just, Catholic school wasn't for him. I don't think he was as, you know, easygoing, I guess you'd say, as we girls. So, anyway, so they finally said, no, forget it, took him out, and all the rest of them went to public school, so they went to Rattlesnake, and it was K through 8 when they were going, mm-hmm. which was nice, because, you know, there was none of this busing
right.
kids around, so, which was really good. I mean, they used to forever until just this a couple of years ago. The kindergartner, first and second graders, were bused over to Mount Jumbo School in East Missoula, mm. which I always thought, boy, I don't think I'd want my kindergartner to get on a bus every day and go to East Missoula. I'm not anything against East Missoula, just the traveling on the, you know, the interstate and every day back and forth. But anyway, so.
So how did you get to school?
I got to school pretty much, we had the bus would pick us up. We had a bus at St. Francis. Or when we got to high school, we'd go pretty much with Dad. You know, he'd take us in the morning, drop us off until we were a little bit older, and then my sister and I got to use the car, and we would drive to school. Sometimes we'd walk, you know, home. If he dropped us off, we'd walk home occasionally. Mm-hmm. So, another thing that I forgot to tell you that reminded me of just walking home when the interstate came through, another thing besides the Green Oak Mansion was the Highlander Beer Brewery was just right there. Just like at the foot of Waterworks Hill, right near, right on the other side of, you know, the Waterworks Hill side of the tracks. And so that was another thing that kind of went by the wayside when the interstate came in. Yeah.
What was it like when the interstate came through beyond simply having to move some things around?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just thought it was a shame that they had to, you know, well, especially the Green Oak Mansion, that they had to move that. But it was just one of those things, you know. And actually, after driving, you know, in a car with no, I mean, we didn't have seat belts back then, and with 9 kids and 2 parents on a little, you know, windy 2-lane roads. It was probably, I can imagine that my parents especially were just really happy to see the interstate come in. A lot safer driving. So, anyway.
What did your parents do?
Well, my dad was, and still is, an optician.
Okay.
And he and my sister have Spectica downtown right now, and he's had his own business, Missoula Eyewear Center. He had that for years, like 40 years. But he started out like apprenticing with some optometrists downtown in a building that's actually not there anymore. It's a parking lot. It's at the corner of Higgins and Broadway. If you go, I guess it would be east then. Just there was the building that was right behind the building that's now there. I'm trying to think where. Well, the Dana Gallery is in the bottom floor. It's just the right on the corner.
Yeah.
It was forever. It was like a bank there. The Western Bank, I think. And that there was a building similar to it, like whatever it is, 6 or 8 stories, that was right next door. Across the alley, but they were attached. My dad worked for those optometrists for several years until he decided to just strike out on his own because he wasn't really making enough money working for them to, you know, to feed a family of our huge family. So
9 days.
Yeah. he had a second job too. He worked at Missoula Textiles at night for a while, cleaning rugs, that sort of thing. So, and then my mom, she worked at the Forest Service as a secretary until Kevin, the fourth child in the family, was born, and then she was at home until my youngest sister, Jennifer, who is like 17 and a half years younger than me. When Jennifer got into school, my mom went back to work. She went back to the Forest Service and then stayed there until she retired. So they've worked hard all their lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about holidays? You said you're a big Catholic family.
Yes. So Easter and Christmas, those were always really big celebrations. And, you know, I can't think of anything, you know, we're just the typical family. We'd have the, you know, the Easter eggs, and Mom usually would give Kathy and I perms the night before, which we hated, and that didn't, you know, last too long. But anyway, yeah, and get all dressed up and go to church on Sunday. And so, yeah, just that's basically, mm-hmm. you know, the whole family gets together still for Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays. We just had a birthday party last night. There were like five people that we were celebrating their birthdays. So I have this picture. Here they are blowing out their candles. So yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything. I mean, we would just go to Mass on, you know, every Sunday, and Christmas was always a special time. And we actually went to church at St. Francis Xavier, and I don't know if you've been in there, but it's, you know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful church. Have you had a chance to go? Oh gosh, you got to go in, because it's like, have you been up to the mission at St. Ignatius?
Mm-mm.
Okay, same thing. I mean, there was, you know, whenever it was, 1800s, I think he was an Italian brother, mm-hmm. that did all the murals in the church, and mm-hmm. you know, it's just gorgeous. There's just, the whole ceiling is covered with murals, and the Stations of the Cross on the sides, and, you know, big pillars. It's just a beautiful, beautiful church.
St. Francis Ignatius?
Xavier. Yeah. Yep. And, and then the Mission Church is similar on a little bit smaller scale. But, yeah, it's a beautiful church. It's a historical, significantly historic site of Missoula. So if you have a chance, you should just go check it out.
Oh, thanks.
It's beautiful.
Good advice. Let's think. So what about local festivities, traditions, holidays? Do you remember anything? I've heard a lot from some of the kids that grew up farming in Missoula about the Missoula Fair.
Oh, the fair, sure. Mm-hmm.
Did you, yeah. your family participate in that?
Or? You know, we always went to the fair.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't grow anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in 4-H, but I was in campfire, so we didn't have animals in the fair or anything. But yeah, the fair was, you know, a gimme. We'd always go to the fair. And, it used to be, later in the season, like you would think when, you know, I mean, because that's when people's produce was ready to pick and all of that. But, you know, now with the weather problem, they've moved it on up.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like? What did you like to do at the fair?
Oh, gosh. Just, you know, all the rides and looking at all the animals. Because, you know, we always loved animals, but, you know, we always dreamed of having our own horse and, you know, being cowgirls, cowboys, that kind of thing. I think we always... Well, not always, but I remember wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat around for quite a while when I was growing up, because it was just, we grew up watching Roy Rogers, you know, and Dale mm-hmm. Evans on TV and all that Rin Tin Tan, all the cute kids' Western shows. Basically the rides and the animals.
Mm-hmm.
When we got older, the horse racing was fun to watch, too.
Yeah.
And rodeos. Actually, that's one thing, you know, the university... The field house used to be just a big open area.
House?
You know, the Adams Field House?
Oh, okay, the Adams Center?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It used to just be one big, huge, open arena type thing. I mean, it was covered, but you'd go in, and it was the lobby, was whatever, had linoleum or whatever, but you'd go in to the actual place, and it was like a dirt floor, you know, and they would put down floors for you know, certain events, and they had things in there like the basketball games. When the basketball games came on, they actually had the floor that they would put up in the center there, but they could then have, they had their circus, they had the three-ring circus there in the Adams Center, you know, because they could just come in the big doors with their elephants and all that other stuff, and,
oh,
you know,
wow.
It was big enough that they you know, the as far as the trapeze and all that kind of stuff. And they had rodeos there. I remember going to a lot of rodeos there. And the Forester's Ball was there actually too. a couple of years when I was, you know, when I was in college. The first time around, it was amazing because they had, I mean, because of where it was and how big the place was, they had a log rolling section where, you must know foresters. I mean, they can do practically anything. They had made like a little pond, you know, right there.
Oh, wow.
And they were log rolling and And they, you know, had all their little demonstration things, climbing the poles and doing all that kind of stuff. So, and the Mission Mountain Wood Band actually was playing. I don't know if you know the Mission Mountain Wood Band, but sometime you'll have to listen to their music. They are Montana. They actually just filmed they had a big reunion at the Wilma last year, and they filmed it for PBS, and, and they have actually a film that they previewed at the concert that's on PBS every now and then. So I have it if you'd like to buy it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm just trying. Can you think of anything else you might want? Any other stories you remember from growing up?
You know,
else you'd like to add in?
I guess just I don't know. It was just such a wonderful place to grow up, you know. And we used to we would go like in the winter, and several people around on the west side where we were would make their own ice skating rinks, you know. And I remember just walking, we would walk, you know, from our place on Linden to people's backyards to from one place to the next, and you know, and just, and we did a lot of outdoor stuff, ice skating, and oh, sweetie, can you not bounce that right now? Because we're to be famous. I will go outside and play with you pretty soon with it though. Sledding, you know, we used to go sledding. There was the sledding hill, and it's still there actually. It's a little county park that's in the city, but there's nothing much there, but it's a really good place to sled, and it's just right off. It's just right off Duncan on. I'm trying to remember the name of the street, but where Dickinson comes in, if you cross the road, it's no longer Dickinson. It's like a something court.
Okay.
And it's just an open. It's open at the end there, and people sled there still when there's snow. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I remember. There was always a lot more snow. Seemed like it was, when it was winter, it was winter.
Yeah.
None of this kind of namby-pamby stuff we have now.
So, did you say that you worked for the Forest Service? How did your childhood affect what you did growing up? Did as an adult?
Well, it affected me big time, actually. I loved the outdoors, and I loved, you know, just anything athletic. I mean, we used to have track meets in our backyard, and we always played football. We had a perfect on our Duncan house. We had kind of a long rectangular backyard, and so kids from all over the neighborhood would come, and we'd have big football games and stuff, and we'd play baseball and all that. But anyway, so I originally went into just PE recreation they had at the university, but after I did that for a couple years, I just remember specifically I was walking up the road that's that's now closed off, unfortunately, and I think there's a house built pretty much where I sat down along the creek, and it was in the fall. It was beautiful, you know, the cottonwoods were. And I just thought, you know, I think I'm going to change my major to forestry recreation, because I just love this land so much, you know, and that's where my interests lie. So I did that, and I didn't quite graduate before I had my first child. And so when my youngest was 4 or 5, I went back to school. And
I'm 5.
Yes, you are. And finished up my degree in recreation resource management. Mm-hmm. And anyway, and so, yeah, so that it had a huge impact. Mm-hmm. And I've worked seasonally for the Forest Service a couple summers. And one of them, when I went back to school, when I was a little bit older, I worked with Dave Cole and Alan Watson over at the Forestry Sciences Lab. And, you know, just working on some surveying that they were doing in several wildernesses around the country. And then Alan called me a few years later, and by that time they had created the Aldo Leopold Wilderness Research Institute. And so they were all the wilderness people were in one, you know, place. And he asked if I would be interested in helping him coordinate a symposium for the 6th World Wilderness Congress. And so I said, sure. And so I worked on that one. And then the 7th World Wilderness Congress was in South Africa, and I actually got to go to that one. And then the latest one, the 8th one, was in Anchorage. So I got to go there too. So, but it's an intermittent job, you know, and so, you know, it's kind of, and it was nice for me because it's really flexible. So I'm able to do things like what I've done too, besides the Forest Service thing. Hey Jackson, could you please not do that? You can take it outside in the backyard if you'd like to. Anyways, I got interested after I got out of school. Then Save Open Space, a local land trust, was just starting up. And so I started going to meetings, and then I ended up on the board, and I've been with them, you know, since like 1993 or so. And gosh, we have several conservation easements around the rattlesnake. In fact, we're kind of regrouping right now. We're narrowing our focus from the greater Missoula urban area to the rattlesnake. So yeah, we have the 108-acre Waterworks Hill Conservation Easement, which is, you know, adjacent to the Randolph Hill. And then we have 20 acres over at the base of Mount Jumbo, plus then several other smaller acreages on the west side. And actually, well, I guess they're not adjacent to the Randolph, but pretty close. The Cleves property, which is just right over the hill from you guys, at the Randolph, just east of you guys, there's a 10 acre plus another four there. Mm-hmm. And then there's another three up the valley too, another 3 acre piece, which, you know, some people may not think that's that big of a deal, but gosh, when you think of how much a lot costs now in the rattlesnake, it's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. It's a really huge deal. So, and I don't know, as far as the future goes, that's one thing. I noticed one of your questions, how Missoula has changed.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that is just really tough for me, having grown up in the rattlesnake, because, you know, when it was Montana Power Land, it was off limits to development, and we had the run of the whole place, you know, and we used it a lot, you know, from kite flying to just hiking around, you know, watching the wildlife, and gosh, it's changing. It's incredible. You know, when I looked at that map that you had, just even the Spurlock's land right there, I mean, it was subdivided into 20 acre parcels. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I have nightmares about the hill that I was telling you about. That, I mean, the Luckman land that I used to, that we used to hike up on when I was 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I have really vivid nightmares where I see a road has been built, a diagonal road, mm-hmm. like the one on South Hills Hillview, and just, you know, knowing that they can just, you know, build streets off of that, and that whole mountain could just be, you know, covered over. Mm-hmm. And what a huge impact that would have on the open space land and the Randolph land. Yep. Right next door.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I know, I mean, even if that perchance didn't happen, then there's already the land that's just east of the Randolph property, just over the hump there, that it is privately owned. And it's the video is winding. It is privately owned, and it's now, I mean, I don't know if you've been to any of the meetings. I haven't myself, but I've heard about the development that they have planned for over there, and it's going to have a huge impact because there's already so many people that now use Waterworks Hill that, you know, once there's people not only coming from town, but and then from the Rattlesnake, but then from the north end, there's going to be a whole huge big neighborhood, a new neighborhood there, and it will be, you know, you can be assured that it's going to have lots of people, dogs, cats, whatever, and they're going to be using it too, because it's all open space, and that's one of the big draws actually of building there is that there's lots of city open space there. So anyway, so to me, that's kind of, it's going to be the last nail in the coffin, I guess, of my experience growing up in the Rattlesnake, as far as the open land and being able to go out and just be in nature and find peace and solitude and, you know, just be able to discover just new cool things. I mean, but I don't know. Even things like owls, you know, every once in a while coming across owls or fox pups or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. That's the elk, every once in a while you see the elk up there, and I don't know, I worry about what it's all going to come down to, you know, so quality of life thing. But I know the people that are moving in will be thrilled.
Yeah.
They'll have a whole new experience.
Yep.
You know, and they'll love every minute of it. So
thanks, what can you say? Janet.
Well, you're welcome.